Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very special guest sources right now, Brandon Nimmo, longtime man. We're talking about homegrown, all this stuff.
Yep.
And there's a lot I want to get to here, Joe, as I'm sure you do with Brandon Nimmo. First for me, Brandon, I think there's more in the tank with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw it last year, right before the All-Star game, where I was making the argument that you should have been an All-Star.
Yep.
You were hitting with power.
Yep.
You were just really impactful.
Yep.
And then fell off.
Yep.
I don't know if it had something to do with the hotel incident. You could explain that to
us.
But what, like, it's been a while now, and you still haven't had that full season that we're waiting for. Where do you feel like you're at going into the season?
Yeah, I feel like you hit the nail on the head. I feel like I had the best first half that I've ever had, and really was starting to hit that full potential, and just wasn't able to ride it out for the rest of the season. And I think that can be couple things. One, I did start to get pitched really well for, let's say, a 2-3 week period after All-Star break. And I think what I did is I made too many adjustments from that point. So rather than just sticking with what got me there and, you know, all the success that we had had to that point, I started saying, okay, 2 weeks has passed. That's probably a little bit too long now. I should probably start covering some of this stuff. So let's make some adjustments. And I ended up making those adjustments, and, you know, it ended up sending us back probably another 2 or 3 weeks. And then by the time you know it, you know, a month and a half has passed and you haven't been the player that you want to be. So I think one of the things is, you know, again, you continue to learn from being in this game. And one of the things I learned from last year was, you know, kind of stick to the course. You know, we've gotten to a point where we know how to succeed and what is best for me to be the best that I can possibly be in the MLB at this point. And so trying to be a little more consistent with that and stay the course rather than pivot after, you know, a couple of weeks of not seeing the results that we want.
You know, when you first got here, you were a leadoff hitter,
mm-hmm.
you were big time on base guy,
yep.
and all of that. Never really looked at you as any kind of a power hitter
right.
early on.
Yep.
You made the adjustment. Now you're hitting more in the power slots
yeah.
in the lineup.
Yep.
I think you hit, 24 homers last year?
Yeah, 23 last year, 24 the year before.
Okay, so you become more of a home run hitter.
Yep.
How about that? How about making the adjustment from, you know, the leadoff guy
yeah.
to now being more down in the lineup?
Yeah, so one of the things with me when I got drafted was everybody talked about how raw I was. And it's taken some time in order to hone everything in and become more consistent with it. And so everybody has told me since, you know, 2016 that I've got more in the tank, as Sal alluded to. And it was just finding the right way to do it and without sacrificing too much on the on-base side of things. And being the good hitter that I was naturally. And so one of the guys that really worked on that with me in the beginning was K-Long, way back in 2017, 2018, and started to have me focus on, you know, getting the ball in the air more because they were seeing on the metrics, even the metrics that we had back then, that my bat speed was there. The ball, the exit velo was there. All we needed was me to get the ball in the air a little bit more. And so we started with that, and then now with Barnes and Chavi, we've been able to have a few years of working on the same things and having the same hitting coaches. And with that, we've been able to develop a little more consistency and a little find that power and when to take chances and when to kind of pull back a little bit more. So maturing as a player and then finding yourself and your swing a little bit more has allowed me to tap into that power. You know, we're going to continue to try and improve with that because, like I said, last year was a story of two halves, and now it's just finding that consistency for a whole year.
How much of it, one of the things I love about you is that you're a max effort guy,
yeah.
all out
yeah.
all the time, and
all
not just the walks
to
first base. I mean, you played banged up last year in the postseason.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make excuses for you.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely curious. Were you banged up from the hotel incident on? What was going on with your health last
year? Yeah. The hotel incident was a one-off. Really, really weird situation. You know, had never had it happen before. But talked to many people that actually were in the organization that had it happen to them. And, you know, really it was kind of a one-off. That thing was, you know, a few days, and then was on from that. There was no injury excuse for what happened, you know, in the second half of last year. I think it purely came down to I made too many adjustments and got away from where I was having a lot of success, and then it took me a little bit to get back to that. Once I finally started to get settled back in September, it started to show up again, and I started to do a whole lot better. And up until the plantar fascia really hit me second to last game against Philadelphia, up until that point, I felt like I was finally, like, back to my normal self and was doing much better. But there was, you know, a six-week period in there where things went really, really south. And I think, you know, I hate to say the word panic, but, you know, it might have happened in after a couple weeks of it, and, you know, we started to make some adjustments, and they didn't translate, and then it took some time to get back from it. So no injuries to blame it on. This was purely me, and purely the swing and the mechanics of it. But it's a learning lesson and something to put in the back pocket for this year. And, you know, we've saddled up this off season, and we're looking to make another run. And so if that's something that I can learn from last season and take into this season and be better for it, then sometimes you have to learn the hard way.
Joe Beningo and Sal Licata were live here at the amazing day at Citi Field where Brandon Nimmo. All right, how about you played mostly left field last year.
Yep.
You were playing center field.
Yep.
Now you move basically to left field.
Yep.
How about the difference in that?
Yeah, it is different. You know, they're very similar positions, and when you look at them on the field, you think it can't be that much different, right? But the ball comes off at much different angles. You get a lot more topspin balls in left field, and you're going to get the kind of slicers away from you, and, you know, nobody – unless you've played the game, really realizes that, you know, like, there are balls that from lefties that will actually come back to
right.
you that are like,
it's like my golf swing.
Yeah, exactly. and so learning all those intricacies is part of it, and then it's just making it, you know, more muscle memory. But, you know, still, I'll play wherever they need me to be. So, you know, on any given day, you know, you could see me in center field and you could see me in left. And it doesn't really matter. Wherever they feel like I'm going to help serve the team that day, then I'll play there. And, you know, I think that versatility has helped. You know, we had a great center fielder last year in Bader, and Tyrone Taylor kind of took over as well in the end there. And we were able to focus a little bit more on, you know, them covering that ground, and it took a little bit of load off my legs, which was fine with me. But going into this year, it's a whole new story, right? We got Siri, and I hear that he's an amazing center fielder. But depending on how Mendy wants to write the lineup, he likes having some versatility in how to write the lineup, and he likes being able to, if we're facing a real tough ace righty, be able to load the lineup up with lefties. You know, however that's going to be written out, I'll be ready for it.
Yeah, maybe a little DH as well, keep you fresh.
Yep.
So speaking of that lineup, as it projects right now, you might be hitting cleanup for this team. We're going to ask Mendy. He's coming up. I'm serious. He's coming
up.
Lindor, you would think would be leadoff.
Yes.
I would assume Soto 2 and Vientos 3. Now, that's an assumption. Maybe they flip and move.
Yeah.
But you're probably looking at the cleanup spot, no?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I hit cleanup a few times last year. They had me all over the place last year. And to me, it doesn't really matter. For that first at bat, you know, if you're in the first three, you know you're going to get an at bat in the first inning. If you're not, then you know you're not. I mean, that's really all that changes. Up to that point, you're just going up there based on the situation that you come into. And no matter if you're hitting eighth in the lineup or first, you know, you're going to come into situations with runners on scoring position. You're going to come in where the guy needs to get over. You're going to come in when, you know, sack fly is all you need. And so just understanding these situations and what you need to do in order to kind of be versatile. You know, if I need to start an inning off and, you know, hey, a walk gets the job done here, you know, and getting things going. If they're not coming after you, then that's what you got to do. It's just understanding what the game is calling for at that time. So I don't really care if I hit fourth or if I hit eighth. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever they feel like is going to be best for the team that day. You know, the way we're writing it up now, I mean, we've got some serious hitters, you know, throughout the lineup, and I don't think you're going to be able to take a breath anywhere, and that's a really important thing to have in today's game, because over the course of 162 games, you're going to have guys that are going up and guys that are going down, and, you know, you're going to need everybody to contribute at some point.
You know, and again, we're talking to Brandon Nimmo. I hope you're hitting fifth behind number 20.
There you go. Okay. Here we go. We got
to
do it.
And with that said, yeah. Okay, you know, you have a chance to do something that not many guys in this franchise have been able to do. Mm-hmm. Not Tom Seaver, not Darryl Strawberry, not Daniel Murphy, none of these guys, okay?
Yep.
Jacob DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance to be a Met your entire career.
Yes.
Only very David special. Wright has ever done that. They're putting his number up in the rafters this year.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to do?
Was one of the intriguing things about coming back to the Mets was spending your whole career with them. And it was something that came into play when we were making decisions in free agency. And I definitely thought about it. You know, I thought, okay, you stay with the Mets, you have a chance to put your numbers in the rafters. And that's not something that a lot of people get the opportunity to do. And so when you get faced with that decision, it's a very heavy weight, and you're like, that's really pulling me back in that spot. Something really special is going to have to draw me away from that. So it's something that I want to do, and I'm hoping to finish my career with the Mets. You know, I think you were alluding to Pete. I would love to see him back. Pete's a good friend of mine, been a great teammate, and obviously amazing hitter his whole career. Would love to see him back, but also going through that process, I understand that it is a business of baseball, and this is where you get that opportunity. You've worked really hard for those 6 years to be in the big leagues and stay there and have success, and you get to make a decision on where you want to spend, you know, either the rest of your career or a portion of your career. And there's more that goes into it than just, you know, hey, I want to come and spend my career back, you know, with the Mets, and I want to see my number up in those rafters. There's, you know, family situations that go into it. There's obviously financial numbers that go into it. There's years that go into it, whether you want that stability or not. So with all these things, there's an emotional side, and I have no doubt that Pete, you know, he emotionally is tied
to. Have you talked to him, by the way?
I've talked to him. Yeah.
Okay.
I've talked to him, and he's loved his time with the Mets, and he loves the fan base, and he loves New York, and he, you know, he would love nothing more than to spend the rest of his career here. But he also understands this is an opportunity that he's gotten and he's worked really hard to get to. And so, you know, the numbers and the years and all that stuff has to match up. From the flip side of that, as the New York Mets, we have to make that decision as well. And, you know, right now they're talking that over, you know, but he's going to end up going wherever he feels is best for him. And that's what I want for him. You know, but obviously, if I'm being selfish, would love to have Pete back in our lineup. And, you know, I think it would be a great thing. But, you know, I don't get to make those decisions. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. So wherever he does end up, I hope it's with us. But wherever he does end up, I wish him nothing but the best.
But you have been vocal about those decisions before.
Yeah.
You're outward in the media. Hey, we need more.
I get to voice my opinion.
Which is great.
Yeah,
it right?
is good.
So in this particular case, have you voiced your opinion behind closed doors to front office ownership?
Yep.
Well, I know to us, but I'm talking about, like, yeah, that's nice to say it to the media.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, he's Brandon Nimmo. He can go talk to Steve and Alex Cohen and say, hey, here's how important it is to have Pete back, not only in this lineup and in this clubhouse. Have you done that?
Yeah, I've talked with Steve and I've talked with David, and, you know, we've talked about Pete exclusively, and we've talked about him and how he would, you know, make a great addition to this lineup that is already looking amazing. And, you know, we have definitely talked it over, but also there is a business side of it that has to make sense from their standpoint as well. So, you know, I get to stand on the outside, and it doesn't affect me at all as far as the money and, you know, and the years and all that goes. They have to make the harder decisions. But I definitely have voiced that, you know, I've loved my time with Pete and would love to see him back.
You've been here with this Mets organization a very long time. We, from the outside, could see the change in ownership and how it feels.
Right.
What is that? Tell us on the inside what that's been like, the change in ownership since the Cohens have taken over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I point back to the very first story that I have with them was Steve and Alex, with how busy they are and, you know, all the different businesses and foundations that they run, they – it took time out of their schedule and had dinner with every single one of us individually and asked, how can we make this organization better and how can we make it somewhere the players want to come to? And we got to all voice our opinion on that, and they took that and they ran with it, and they have treated us like family since the beginning. Anything that we need in order to try and be the very best that we can be out on the field, they have provided, and they're always open to you know, the criticism, the positive criticism of, hey, this is what we need in order to be better. And then, like I said, they've allowed a voice from the players in order to, you know, express what we need. That doesn't mean that they're going to take it all the time, but they're going to take all the different information that they possibly can and make the best decision that they feel is right for the organization. And, you know, I really just think that you see what we did last year as a huge stepping stone to what they're trying to accomplish for this organization. They don't want to just be the organization that's like the ugly stepsister to, you know, in New York. Like, they want to be the place that players want to come to, and I think you see that with, you know, putting an exclamation point on getting Juan Soto. And
so it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Drawing him away from all the other suitors, and he wouldn't have chose this team if there weren't players and facilities and, you know, the ownership that he wanted in order to try and win World Series year after year. And that's something that Steve and Alex have made very clear. They want to try and win every single year. Last year was supposed to be a year that, you know, we kind of took a step back and reevaluated and everything, and you still saw David and Steve and Alex put together a team that ends up making a trip to the NLCS, even despite the adversity that we faced in the beginning of the year. And I think that is what is speaking to where they want to take this organization. The job is not finished. Steve, obviously, he wants to win, and he wants to win now. You know, he won't sleep until we do that.
You know, as a guy who's, again, we're talking to Brandon Nimmo, Beningo, and Licata here at the amazing day at Citi Field. As a guy who's been fortunate enough to see the two world championships,
yeah.
Okay, I'm an old man. I'm fortunate enough to have seen both of the championships. Last year to me, okay, I know we went to the World Series a few times and all that, didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Last year to me was probably, next to the two championship years, as fun a year as I've ever had as a Met fan. I mean, you guys came from the abyss. You start out 0-5.
Yep.
You're 11, 12 games under 500.
Yep.
Then you're the best team in baseball from that point
yes.
on.
Yeah.
You know, you have this great win over Milwaukee. Pete hits the big home run. You beat the hated Phillies in the in the playoffs. You gave the Dodgers a series. You beat them a couple times. The other team only beat them once when they played them in a World Series. That other New York team.
Yeah.
Okay? How about last year? How great was that run last year?
You know, I'm biased, but I thought it was pretty special as well. The thing that I point to is, for the last month of the season, it just seemed like every day I was telling the media, like, well, I thought a couple days ago we played the best game that I've ever been a part of, but then tonight surpassed that, you know? And it felt like I was doing that every other day. And you know, we had so many special moments from so many different players, Winker, Vientos, Lindor, Alvarez, myself, Manaea, you know, amazing starts. It felt special, like you said, where, you know, we overcame a lot of adversity in the beginning, but then everything happened so naturally with the OMG, you know, stuff. And nobody forced that. That was, you know, that came about so organically and naturally from Iglesias, and everybody just kind of stepping up and doing it in their own time. And, you know, when their number was called, it was so special. And to be able to finish that ride in Atlanta and kind of overcome, you know, Atlanta's been a thorn in our side for
what a game that was,
years.
By the way.
Oh my God.
Tell me about it. Those damn Braves.
Diaz blows the save, right? We're delirious, right?
Yep.
And then Francisco saves everybody.
Two-run homer, you know, unbelievable. Runs around the bases like nothing happened.
Right.
You know, but in that game, you knew that, well, okay, so we're ahead right now. That doesn't, you know, like, that game was back and forth the whole time. So,
it was.
So, you know, it was so special to be able to do it there and clinch. And then, you know, down to our last strike, you know, in Milwaukee. And, and Pete hits that big home run.
It gives me goosebumps. Man.
Delirious. You talk about delirium. Yeah. Let me tell you. You saw my house.
Oh, my God.
I thought we were done.
Like you said, I mean, it was a perfect example of our season.
Right.
The lowest of lows, you know, they're down and out. It's a shot year. We're done. To the highest highs, like you said, we're the best team in baseball for the latter half of the season. And, you know, I think the playoffs, you know, pointed to that as well. And to be able to clinch, be the first team to clinch at Citi Field was really, really special. I wish they wouldn't have told us that right before we went out, though, because I didn't know up until that point.
Oh, really?
Point.
You didn't know they never clinched anything here?
And then they were like, hey, by the way, as you're going out, nobody's ever clinched here. So
we were like, don't tell me that.
Let us just play.
Yeah, but we went out there, and then Francisco obviously has that amazing moment.
The Grand Slam.
It was unbelievable.
It was pretty good, Brandon.
What about what the Dodgers have done here? I mean, you look in from our perspective, like this
the
damn
Dodgers
team.
Get away with murder.
They beat the Mets. They beat the Yankees in the World
the
Series.
The league caters to the freaking Dodgers, okay? Let's tell it like it is.
How does it feel that even your team, Brandon, you signed Juan Soto, you're the Mets, you got Steve Cohen, you guys had a great year last year, and yet the Dodgers continue to do it. Yep. How do you feel as a player?
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have an amazing team. Obviously, they won the World Series last year, and what did they do this offseason? They just ended up getting better. And so for us, you know, I think the goal is still the same. You know, we want to be the last team left standing at the end. The Dodgers are obviously the big bad team that's in the way, but there's a lot of teams that, you know, people aren't talking about, you know, the Phillies and the Braves that are in our own division that we have to worry about before them. But, you know, I think it's just making sure that you take it day by day. You don't try and look too far out because baseball is a long season. You know, they were riddled with injuries last year, and we don't know how things are going to work out this year.
Right, sure.
And so we're going to have to focus on, first and foremost, making sure that our guys are good and ready for the season and stay healthy. And then after that, all bets are off because once you get into the playoffs, it's whoever's hot and whoever's playing good baseball right then. And so for us, you know, I like our chances. We need to play well during the season, get into the playoffs, and then from that point, all bets are off. You know, the Dodgers are a great team, and they're looking amazing on paper, but so are we. And, you know, once you get to the playoffs, you never know what it's going to look like, you know. That's 10 months down the road. So a lot can happen in that time, and I think you just focus on taking care of you each and every day and your team, and then you kind of let the rest work its way out until you get to those points where you play those teams.
How does it – before we let Brandon go here, and we really appreciate the time.
Yeah, no, thank you.
How does a kid from Wyoming – okay, not exactly a baseball hotbed. You know, the weather's not conducive to you playing baseball.
Right.
How does a kid from Wyoming – get to the major leagues like you did?
Well, it's been a long and winding road, but one thing that I've just always tried to do is, you know, each and every day focus on, you know, trying to leave nothing on the table, to overturn every stone, so that, you know, when you eventually, we're all going to be told at some point that you can't play anymore, and when you get to that point, you don't want to have any regrets about how you went about your business. And that's been my goal since I got signed in 2011. And, you know, my dad used to tell me when I was younger, I told him, you know, hey, I want to be a Major League Baseball player. And he said, okay, there's some kid in Texas that has better facilities than you. There's some kid in California that's playing all year long.
Right.
What are you going to do in order to set yourself apart? And so I always kept that in the back of my mind. And even now, you know, I'm thinking somebody else wants my job. And somebody else is relying on me for when we get to those points in the postseason when, you know, it's your turn to come up, that you're going to be prepared for that situation. And I think that was one thing that has continued to inspire is, you know, finding these little things to motivate and to keep that fire going. Because it's really easy to become content. You know, it's really easy to say, okay, well, you know, hey.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it. You're here.
But you got the contract.
Finding those little things to keep pushing forward and to hold yourself accountable and to do that on a daily basis is one thing that has helped, you know, help me get to this point. I'm extremely blessed. I've had a ton of people in my life that have helped support me to get to this point. Times when I thought I was down and out and, you know, it wasn't going to happen, and I've had the encouragement to keep pushing on and keep pressing. And a lot of coaches that have really helped spur me on and look at the game differently and be able to, you know, kind of reinvent myself. We've spoke about it, you know, really briefly in the beginning was started off as a leadoff guy, you know, that kind of just on base, and then we've expanded since then. And so finding a new thing each and every year to be able to be better at, I think is something that has allowed me to stay in this game and be able to have success and be that kid from Wyoming that ended up making it.
And I think you and Lindor got snubbed last year.
Well, I appreciate
that. I expect to see both of you representing the Mets in the All-Star game this
year. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. And, yeah, we're looking forward to big things from the Mets in 2025.
So are we, Brandon.
Thank you very much, Brandon. We appreciate the time.
Brandon, really
thank you guys for having me.
Thank you very much. Good luck this year. Stay healthy.